broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman, on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. Wow, this is the broadcast for March 21st in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is our two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. To do so on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, as always. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much to talk about, so little time. The question is, will Donald Trump be arrested today? My guess is he'll be indicted, folks, but he will not be officially arrested. And, you know, to the average American, that's kind of confusing. I don't know if you know, but if you're indicted, you are literally arrested. They might not come and get you. They might let you stay out on your own recognizances and come and report later to the court, whatever. But it's virtually an arrest, according to Sheriff Mack, last hour discussion. But I don't believe they'll arrest him. I don't know that they'll go in with handcuffs. They know that they did that last time when it came to Mar-a-Lago and it backfired big time. They also know that Donald Trump's taunting them in a way by saying, you know what, they're going to arrest me, folks, protest. Well, I've got a problem with this whole protest notion from the Donald. Look, Donald knows full well that people went to prison. Good, innocent people went to prison over the January 6th thing. And you know what? They called for a protest to be there as well. And many, many, many people came. They wanted to peacefully assemble and protest this idea that Congress needs to look at election integrity issues. Congress did no such thing. Republicans betrayed us as much as Democrats on that. But in the end of the day, though, the government in bed with the media controlled the narrative and made you believe there was this incredible insurrection on January the 6th. There was not. Most people were very peaceful. There were a few agent provocateurs. Most of them in government were finding out, Ray Epps and others, who really, really got the ball rolling for any hint of violence or insurrection or aggression of any kind. The average Joe was very, very mellow. So now for Donald Trump, in my opinion, to call for protests is, in my opinion, very irresponsible by Trump. Now, I agree with all the other people. Elon Musk warns that this indictment will backfire. I agree with Elon Musk. Ted Cruz slammed this potential, saying it was a witch hunt and everything else, and absolutely wrong. Tucker Carlson, Carrie Lake, others speaking out, saying, you know what, this is a big problem, man. I fear for our nation if this is allowed to stand. How dare they? This is something you expect to see in third world banana republics. People are saying, hey, protest and quit being in fear of the government. Well, folks, you better be in fear of your government right now. Sad but true. Carrie Lake, I appreciate your statements, but listen, you cannot whip people up into a frenzy. You're not doing any good by doing that. Going to protest, they're already putting up barricades. Okay? Look, I'm not happy about what's happening. And I think what's happening to Donald Trump is absolutely wrong. I agree with all these critics of what's happening. I agree with Donald Trump that this is wrong. Now, I don't defend what Donald's done with this girl, Stephanie, or whatever in the first place. Shame on you for that, Donald. But I also think this is a witch hunt. But here's the problem. When Americans protest, what's going to happen? You're going to protest. Agent provocateurs are going to be in the mix. They're going to turn it around against you, and then you're going to be the bad guy. I don't really see how that helps our cause at all. I really don't. I don't see how that helps our cause. So, ladies and gentlemen, do not protest. Do not go to capitals or to New York or to any of these places and create large so-called peaceful assemblies. They have proven at the deep state level that they will infiltrate your peaceful assembly and attack and betray and then blame it on you, the peaceful American. Don't fall for that lie. So I appreciate Trump telling everybody to protest, but look, they don't have millions of dollars like Trump does. These people get arrested and go to prison. Think how many people are in prison now already, Donald, because they peacefully went to protest in defense of what we believe to be election integrity problems. I think their cause was just, but they've been infiltrated, betrayed, agent provocateurs, managed to control the narrative against we the people, wrongfully so. But until we can really educate to the true narrative of what happened, and until we can stop the deep state from literally creating insurrections and blaming it on the people, until we can stop the criminal element from creating a two-tier injustice system in America, I'm telling you that your protests will backfire against you. Your peaceful assemblies will not go the way you hope. So I don't mean to be offensive here. Now, Ron DeSantis said he won't get involved in the manufactured circus. I understand what DeSantis is saying, and I don't really disagree. But I do think that he's going to be forced to get involved. Because are they going to indict Donald Trump? And if they do, are they going to extradite him? If they indict and extradite, at some point there's going to be a forced signature from Ron DeSantis to say, yes, we'll allow the extradition to take place. Or DeSantis is going to say, no, I won't allow that to take place. In my opinion, if DeSantis allows it to take place, then I believe DeSantis is acting criminal. Folks, okay, there should be no extraditing or indicting of Donald over this. Is what he did right? No. Is it criminal? Not when you have the double standard of the level that you do. Okay, Donald says that he's still going to run for office even if he is indicted. So then experts on the Constitution are being asked, can you indict someone while they're in a lawsuit, while there's prosecution, allegations? Can he run for president and become president? And some are saying, yes, he can. Well, if he becomes president before the lawsuit gets finished, does that mean then, well, yes, he was indicted and convicted, but because he's the president, the law can't touch him? What does all this mean? And shame on Ron DeSantis for saying he won't get involved in the circus. I appreciate what he's saying. This is a circus. This is disaster, but I don't see how you cannot be involved. And as Richard Mack pointed out last hour, can Donald Trump demand that Ron DeSantis protect him from an illegal indictment and or illegal, force him to go back to New York? This is getting thick fast, but every single law in America seems to be challenged by these strange events, right? Every single issue seems to be challenged. Nothing that we used to know in terms of rule of law matters. Everything is turned on its head. Are you comfortable with that? See, I am not. I'm not comfortable with this at all. And the sad part is I don't see it getting any better. I see it getting worse. Everything we used to take for granted in terms of the rule of law is being turned upside down. And Donald, sadly, always seems to be at the center of it. So I protect Donald in that I don't think that they have the right to extradite him. I don't think they have a right to indict him at this point. But at the same time, I kind of think, look, Donald's brought it up, a lot of this on himself due to his immorality. Now, the double standard is a problem, but just because we let Bill Clinton go, that doesn't mean we should let Donald go. What we should do is prosecute them both. The problem is there's real pay dirt when it comes to Clinton. And as far as I can tell, Ted Cruz is right about this. Right? If the former president of the United States is arrested, says Ted Cruz, that is historic. Cruz highlighted this. It's flimsy. It's weak. it has been rejected time and time again by prosecutor after prosecutor after prosecutor, and it's obviously a political retribution and a political persecution of Donald. I think that's true. In Bill Clinton's case, look, women made allegations of rape. Easily provable. Clinton paid money, right, to Paula. And you look at this whole thing and you say, there was 10 times more evidence against Bill than there is against Donald. How does all this work? Well, sadly, in America, we have fallen to a moral low. And that really is the cause. Everything else is kind of a downstream effect of this, right? Everything else is a cause. I'm sorry, the morality is the cause. Everything else is an effect. We've got immoral people at the helm of every aspect of our government, and our government is starting to fail as a result. Remember George Washington's wise counsel and instruction on this issue? Religion and morality are the two necessary supports for the proper role of limited constitutional government. Right? We can't have the proper role of government without them. We have jettisoned religion, and we have jettisoned morality. No wonder our country's failing. What is the solution? Restore religion and morality as the two great supports for the proper role of honest government, where people are innocent until proven, that's right, proven guilty. I am Sam Bushman. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
While Ron DeSantis, he won't get involved in the manufactured circus, which I agree it is. At the same time, I kind of say, wait a minute, you're going to be forced to be involved. Anyway, this is a very sad day for America, folks, literally, when this double standard is so out of control. It really is. All right, sad news. You know, we were told back in the day that high tech would save us. Not anymore. You can't get a company that's more high-tech than Amazon, really. But now Amazon announces its plans to lay off 9,000 corporate and tech workers by the end of April. Yeah, the cuts, they say, follow a round of layoffs that took place only a couple of months ago that affected more than 18,000 jobs. So now you got literally Amazon laying off 27,000 people. in a matter of a couple of months. That alone is a real concern when it comes to the economy, ladies and gentlemen. A real concern indeed, right? I don't even know how to respond to it. It's so bad. Because, I mean, really, this is high tech. When the average Joe would consider Amazon a high tech company, but the market seems to be collapsing. Sad but true. I don't know what you think or do about it, but I expect it to get worse. Do you expect it to get worse, folks? I don't want it to get worse, but that's what I'm thinking the reality will be. Wow. Amazon going to lay off 9,000 in addition to the 18,000 just a couple of months ago. All right, this story is scary as all get out. You know, we've talked about the Chinese COVID virus, whatever. We've talked about it being leaked from a lab, or it being some kind of a, you know, meat market or whatever, where it jumped from animals to humans. I say personally that it was not leaked. It was intentionally released from a communist Chinese lab. And the United States helped make gain-of-function research possible. They've turned it into a bioweapon for sure. Well, now there's evidence coming out separate from that, that China's, quote, new DNA-based bioweapons target specific ethnic groups and races. Yeah, they say facts matter. The Epoch Times with this piece, ladies and gentlemen, that alone is just shocking scary. They say over the past 3 years, a spotlight has been shown on the Communist Chinese Party, the CPP, bio-warfare program. And regardless of whether the bioweapon, regardless of whether the coronavirus is part of that as a bioweapon or not, in actuality, the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP, is indeed developing weapons that target specific race and ethnicity markers. And believe it or not, the Communist Chinese Party has been able to stitch together the largest collection of American DNA profiles, even larger than what the United States has been able to collect. They've done this not only through hacking, but they've also done this through more traditional channels, such as purchasing the data from DNA sequencing companies. Moreover, at times, they don't even have to purchase the data. For example, BGI, it's a huge company, one of the largest manufacturers of prenatal tests used around the world, has been sending the genetic data of pregnant women from 52 different countries to the Communist Chinese military. And you got to ask yourself, what use would the Communist Chinese have for all this data? Well, when you think about the Wuhan virus or the coronavirus, and you think about the havoc they wreaked with that, when I say they, I mean the deep state, the United States leaders in bed with communist Chinese leaders, in bed with who knows who else, right? You paint a very, very disturbing picture, ladies and gentlemen. And you kind of got to ask yourself, wow, now they have this DNA capability. China's new DNA-based bioweapons are now targeting specific groups and races. Facts matter. Folks, this is nothing to joke about. This is scary beyond imagination, right? I mean, how do you even respond to that kind of stuff? Wow. All right, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. You only hear these things on Liberty Roundtable Live or a few other news organizations, I guess. I want to jump back to hour two of yesterday's show we had with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. We talked about 3 years to slow the spread, COVID hysteria, and the creation of a never-ending COVID crisis, writes Jordan Shachtel. Great, great article, right? COVID, courage, and cowardice. Jordan sounds off with a second article on the same topic, and he highlights this. A letter from John Adams to his wife, Abigail. Liberty once lost is lost forever. When the people once surrender their share in the legislature and their right of defending the limitations upon the government and of resisting every encroachment upon them, they can never regain it. Think about that, folks. The loss of liberty is a serious, serious crisis indeed. We also talked about the fact that Ron Paul challenged the coronavirus tyranny from the beginning. Adam Dick writes an incredible article about that. I agreed with Rand Paul and have been standing tall to reject this for some time. How did you behave in the face of this panic? He asked the question in the article. Well, I wrote that I doubled down. I went hard in the paint to tell the truth, folks. Jordan writes this, courage is unique because it's almost impossible to be courageous and popular at the same time. If courage were popular, it wouldn't be brave. If courage was common, it wouldn't be courageous. Amen to that. What an incredible quote. We then continued by talking about unsound banking, why most of the world's banks are headed for collapse. Doug Casey wrote that over at lewrockwell.com. Bank deposits, believe it or not, until quite recently were of two kinds, time deposits and demand deposits. Time deposits, ladies and gentlemen, paid out a little better return on your money because you said I'll agree to let them hold on to my money for a certain amount of time with big penalties to pull it out. And so I'm going to leave that money to them for a certain amount of time. I'm going to get benefits for leaving it there. The other kind was on-demand deposits, which meant I can go back in and get my money out of the bank anytime I want to. It paid less of a return because it wasn't as, quote, guaranteed and stable for the bank, right? Now they flip that all on its head. Listen up. The FDIC insurance covers about $9.8 trillion, but the institution only has assets of $125 billion. So $9.8 trillion to $125 billion. That is about 1 cent on every dollar that the FDIC has. If the FDIC goes bust, you can expect the government or really the taxpayer to bail it out. They'll create money out of thin air, creating inflationary realities like you've never seen before. That's unsound banking, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. Every dollar they create out of thin air reduces the value of the dollars in your wallets. It's literally considered theft by inflation, creating a moral hazard the likes of which you have never, ever seen. It's so bad that it prompted Jacob G. Hornberger at lewrockwell.com to write a column. We need separate money and the separate state. Yeah, the United States once upon a time had the finest monetary system in the world's history. It was a system that the U.S. Constitution established. It was a system of which the official money of the United States consisted of gold and silver coinage. Yeah. Sadly, it's all been destroyed, folks. Sadly, it's all been destroyed. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues in seconds on your favorite news the networks refuse to use talk station.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell and his colleagues this week will face one of their toughest calls in years, whether to raise interest rates again to fight high inflation or to take a timeout amid the worst banking crisis since 2008. Fed officials' two-day meeting concludes tomorrow. President Biden issued his first veto of his presidency yesterday in an early sign of shifting White House relations with the new Republican-led Congress. The bill would have prevented his administration from making investments based on environmental, social, and governance considerations.
I just signed this veto because the legislation passed by the Congress would put at risk the retirement savings of individuals across the country. They couldn't take into consideration investments that wouldn't be impacted by climate, impacted by overpaying executives, and that's why I decided to veto it.
Trump Tower and the Manhattan Criminal Court are currently surrounded by barricades.
The barricading comes as New York City is prepping for former President Trump's potential arrest. He could be indicted by a grand jury investigating the documentation of hush money payments to adult film actress Stormy Daniels prior to the 2016 election. Officials say NYPD officers will be posted in several high-profile areas, and all cops are told to be in uniform today and be ready to move when needed. I'm Skip Kelly.
Schools in the Los Angeles Unified School District in Southern California, the second largest in the United States, will close for 3 days starting today because of a strike by teachers and other staff. The Service Employees International Union serves about 600,000 students in kindergarten through 12th grade at more than 1,000 schools. The union says they have shut down the schools because of unfair practices. Earth is set for a view of a lifetime as five planets of the solar system will align. It's going to happen 1 week from today at sunset. This is USA News.
Non-attorney spokesperson, ad sponsored by Openjar Concepts. Attention veterans and active duty military. If you were issued earplugs between 2002 and 2016 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-958-2145 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-958-2145 now. Again, 800-958-2145. That's 800-958-2145.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Wow. I look at these news stories that I'm seeing, and it's just shocking. China's new DNA database bioweapon systems targeting ethnic groups and races. Oh, boy. What's coming, ladies and gentlemen? Beware. In the meantime, though, we have somewhat a little bit of good news. The bad news is these drag queen shows are being, conducted in library storytelling time and to children where, some man dresses up like a woman and creates a sexual show called a drag show or whatever. But now we have Tennessee standing tall and saying, not on our watch. Well, that's good news. It always takes one to start the ball a rolling. It takes some leadership, and thank the good heavens Tennessee providing this leadership. After Tennessee became the first state, ladies and gentlemen, to prohibit drag shows in places where children may be present, several red states now are pushing for similar legislation. States including Idaho, Kentucky, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. They're all focused on passing legislation that would restrict or outright outlaw sexually explicit drag shows in the presence of minors. Amen to that. It's a good start. It's not near enough. Now, they say the legislation is gaining momentum through 14 states. That's a part of a broader battle throughout the country over exposing children to gender identity and sexually explicit concepts that may not be what they call age appropriate. Boy, howdy, is that a fact, right? They say we frequently hear stories of children being exposed to inappropriate and explicit material in the classroom or in school during sponsored field trips, oftentimes without parental knowledge and or consent. Jessica Anderson is with Heritage Action. Told the Daily Caller News Foundation that, hey, state legislative bodies are working on this and trying to protect children from harmful cross-sex hormones or experimental surgeries. They're also tackling the broader problem of activist educators and administrators who are pushing the radical left's gender ideology against children without the knowledge of parents. Idaho passed some legislation and they're working on it. Yeah. They've never marketed these kind of things to children before, except for recently. Oklahoma State University, for example, hosted a drag queen hour aimed at students between the ages of 2 and 8 years old, ladies and gentlemen. That's according to Fox 25. They say that a drag queen performed during celebrations for Pride Month on June 25th, 2022, in Raleigh, North Carolina. There you have it. I don't know how to respond to this, folks. I commend some of these states for standing up, but aren't they a little, like, late to the party? Nebraska has a bill about this as well. Bringing a minor to a drag show would be a misdemeanor. See, we're not even prosecuting enough. Legislation to call that a misdemeanor? Folks, look, you take these children to this and you will basically burn this into their mind. They will not ever be able to get it out of their minds. And all we say is, oh, yeah, it's a misdemeanor. Folks, where is the moral majority in America today? Why aren't we absolutely in every state in the union demanding that this pornography, this sexually explicit agenda, what do we need to do to stop it? Tennessee standing tall. But now they say the legislation gaining momentum through 14 states is part of a broader battle throughout the country over exposing children to sexually explicit concepts that may not be age appropriate. May not be. We're going to go ahead and work on the battle in 14 states. We're so behind the curve on this, it's not even funny. They're having drag queen show and story hours and everything else all the time. Literally all the time. And we don't do anything really to stop it? Wow. While these guys are talking about, in my opinion, this perverted stuff, and I appreciate those who are trying to stand against it, but will we let this happen in America to our children? Sam Bushman and Lowell Nelson yesterday on the radio were talking about children a little more. We were talking about why so many pediatricians do well child visits. And we were talking about an article written by Alan Stevo. It's on lewrockwell.com. This article was very, very good. And in that article, we talked about a book that Alan Stevo recommends. It's called, it's a book, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor, written by Dr. Robert S. Mendelsohn. Now, I used that book along with my wife, we used that book to raise our 8 children. Incredible book, Alan Stevo's, exactly, spot on that. Incredible book. Valuable as all get out. And the premise of the book is, hey, the mainstream doctors, vaccines, all these things aren't really for your best health of your child. There's things that you can do yourself that are much better. Take responsibility. Right? The medical profession has an agenda that's not in your best interest is the point of the book. Incredible book. But then Lowell Nelson also recommended another book by a, quote, naturalist, Dr. Bernard Jensen. And the book is called Nature Has a Remedy. Nature Has a Remedy. And Lowell says that my wife and I both read this book continually while raising our 3 daughters. Incredible book, right? And I then, on the heels of those 2 books being recommended, recommended another book. So Sam recommends another fantastic book. Listen to what it's called. Take Charge of Your Child's Health. That's right. Take Charge of Your Child's Health. It's a parent's guide to recognizing symptoms and treating minor illnesses at home. Incredible book written by Dr. George Wutan. So think about that. While these folks are promoting drag queen hour and others are trying to make it a misdemeanor to pervert the children, Sam and Lowell are talking about books to help you raise your children effectively and safely despite of the medical community. Learning how to appropriately deal with these things, right? It's a little bit shocking to me how different our agendas are. And what we're focusing on, right? I mean, it really is shocking to me of what we spend our time on and what they spend their time on. We're like in different worlds, folks. Right? We're in literally different worlds. Yeah. All right, folks. We have the FTC in the news, Federal Trade Commission, and they've been attacking everybody relentlessly. The FTC has hit Twitter with 357 demands, many of which have little to do with user privacy. The House Judiciary Committee published a scathing report accusing the FTC leftists of a partisan attack on Twitter and Elon Musk. CEO Elon Musk called it a serious attack on the Constitution by a federal agency. That's the Daily Wire. I can't disagree with Elon Musk on this. Right? I mean, this attack is on everyone, right? I don't know really how to respond to these kind of attacks. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. Elon Musk going, whoa. So Donald Trump's being attacked. Elon Musk's being attacked. We're being attacked. Where do these Democrats get all this money and all this government power? You want me to tell you how we, the people, have been derelict in our duty and we've allowed them to gain this power while we've been strangely silent and not even engaged?
True Passover versus Easter. The Catholic Church and most denominations follow the Jewish Passover. Here is the Jewish tradition. The Passover takes place 14 days after the new moon, after the equinox. But what does God say? In Isaiah 1 verse 14, quote, "Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being," unquote. Now notice God's word versus Jewish tradition. Quote, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover," unquote. That's from Leviticus 23, verse 5. God's year begins on the spring equinox. Passover is always on the 14th day of God's year, the 14th day after the equinox. The Sunday after the Passover is Resurrection Sunday. None of this is about fertility, which is exactly what Easter is all about. Easter bunny and eggs, fertility rites, are paganism.
To leave a message, message, press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No.
To change.
Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. You ever heard of a four-day work week? America is ready for a four-day work week, Newsweek says. Do you believe that? Is America ready for a four-day work week? I'm not so sure. Julia Carbonaro wrote the article here. It's kind of an interesting article, in my opinion. Europe has done this for quite some time. And they say California has become the first state with a four-day work week. What to know? Well, I don't know that I want to follow California into anything. But nevertheless, they say it'll help out the workforce. It'll be good for the U.S. economy. I'm not so sure that I believe or buy that, right? But they say the problem is we've got a hustle culture, and we need a better push for a short-day work week. They say the pandemic has accelerated a four-day work week. That's interesting. Did you feel that way, folks, that the COVID pandemic has accelerated support for a four-day work week? As many are calling for an abandonment of hustle culture. Some 71% of Americans say they support the concept of a four-day work week. Well, 83% say they can complete their workload in 4 days. Could you complete your workload in 4 days? I sure as heck cannot. But I could do less things. American work culture, sadly, remains focused on busyness. And many Americans work in retail, hospitality, manufacturing, and medical professions where the need to have the around-the-clock coverage might hinder the idea for a four-day work system. I don't think so. I think you can get employees to handle it, no problem. Americans are ready for a shorter work week, though, Newsweek's show. They say it might not happen anytime soon, if at all. But a lot of people are saying, hey, it could be good. It could happen. Now, what do you say? Are you for a four-day work week? How about you, Lizzie? Are you for a four-day work week? Kind of an interesting question, huh? America is ready for the four-day work week. That's Newsweek claiming this, right? I don't know. Some 71% of Americans say they support the concept, and a full 83% think they could complete their weekly workload in 4 days. And I think if everybody really got after it, they probably could. That's true. I think a lot of time is wasted at work with breaks and lunches and coming in late and leaving early. And, you know, the problem with a busy work week that people have, nobody has time to go to the doctor. You have to take days off work to do it. Da, 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 da. If you had a 4 day work week, you'd just simply say, hey, you've got plenty of time to go to the doctor. You'd have to stagger the 4 day work week, right? Well, I got an interesting tidbit for you. Some are talking about a four-day work week. Some are talking about a three-day work week. Wow, Chick-fil-A owner institutes three-day work week. That's right. I guess it's in Florida. And they say that everyone knows about Chick-fil-A's policy of being closed on Sundays to observe the Sabbath. Even locations in airports and sports stadiums remain closed on Sunday despite the massive number of travelers and hungry football fans seeking fried chicken sandwiches. Business Insider reports, right? This move, they say, costs the company about $1 billion in sales every year. Now, I don't believe it. I don't agree that it cost them $1 billion in sales. I don't believe that. However, closing our business on Sunday, the Lord's Day, is our way of honoring God and showing our loyalty to Him. Chick-fil-A's founder, Truett Cathy, wrote in his book, More Chicken, Inspire More People. That's the name of the book. Anyway, I bring this up because this one franchisee, or whatever you want to call it, of Chick-fil-A, put in a three-day work week, and he says it's just better for everybody. And, you know, I don't know how you do a three-day work week unless people just work 12 hours and get 36 hours in, and we call 36 hours a full work week. If you do a 40-hour week, you can do 10s, and it's a 40-hour work week. Three 12s, four 10s. I personally like the idea of four 9s, a 36-hour work week. Pretty good. You could do four 11s and get 44 hours of work in. How much can people really concentrate is part of the problem and part of the discussion with this discussion. See, I personally believe that how long can people work in a day without burnout? How long can you really work and be productive and effective? Now, I know nurses and people like that and firefighters and some people have these 12 on or something like that or 48 on, 12 off or whatever kind of days and stuff like that. But how long can people work and stay productive, right? That's really, in my opinion, one of the keys to the discussion, right? Productivity. Productivity generally refers to the individual's ability, team or organization, to work efficiently with that time to maximize output. High productivity results from a mix of, and then they go into a bunch of things. They say that an average worker only spends 4 hours and 12 minutes actively working during an 8-hour shift. They say, you know what? The average worker can only really focus. The maximum productive hours, they say, seems to be max out at 6. So that's the problem, right? I don't believe people can really work 12, 15-hour days and be super productive. Oh, they can power through it. I get it. But I personally think, and this is the way I personally work because I have control over my schedule. I personally think it's better to have your productive work to be more like 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. That's 36 hours. You say, Sam, then you never get days off. Yeah, I do. I can take a day off and put in 7 hours. Right? There's a lot of ways to get in extra hours. But I personally think that you cannot be that productive for that long. The average worker only spends 4 hours and 12 minutes actively working during an average 8-hour work shift. Think about that. They say, which begins to highlight the problem, right? And they say, in fact, the maximum productive hours for people, according to studies, seems to be to cap out at 6. Even the most productive workers are wasting 2 hours during a typical workday. Right? You got to ask yourself, how long is the average workday? It all depends on you, how you determine a workday. Is it how long I'm actually at work? Is it how long I'm productive? What determines a workday? How long the boss says I got to clock in and clock out? Is the workday how much work I actually get done? New studies also show that people that work from home get a lot more work done than people who don't. Right? That's a very interesting discussion alone, isn't it? I don't know really where to go with it except to say that I think it's important that we really consider this stuff. I personally believe that no matter what hours you pick, you need to let your people have some downtime. And I don't mean Saturday and Sunday, because all the time, Saturday and Sunday, you're just trying to catch up enough on life to where it's not really total downtime. So I personally believe that there's a lot of merits to this. I don't know what the answers are. And let me explain what I mean. I don't think the government ought to make any demands. Right? I feel like each company or each boss needs to figure out what they think is best for their employees. But I'm really concerned that when the average worker only spends 4 hours and 12 minutes out of an 8-hour day, they need to change something. And when they say the max of productive hours for even the best workers seem to cap out at 6, it's time to change the game. How could you change the game to be most productive? Right? How many hours do you need to put in for an employer? Why is the magic 40? Back in the day, it used to be 6 days, 10, 12 hours a day. Now, I agree that's burnout, that's out of control, and that's what labor laws were put in place for, sadly, and everything else. But it seems to me that we as people ought to be better than that now. Ought to be better than trying to squeeze every dime out of every employee everywhere all the time. We need to take a step back and respect people and find out how can we be super productive. What if you gave people 3-hour workdays in the morning and 3-hour workdays in the afternoon? So you got two shifts. You go home for lunch for 2 hours in the middle, for instance. Now you're working 6 hours, but it takes 8 hours to accomplish. But you have a massive lunchtime in between to take a break, to take a nap, to go to the doctor, to do things that need to be done. You know, you could really make a difference. What about a 3-day work week? Just saying people can work longer. Anyway, here's what I know. I agree with Chick-fil-A. Close your businesses on Sunday. There needs to be a day of rest, a day for the Lord. But I'm okay working 6 days a week other than that. Now you can say, well, Sam, don't you want more days off that way? Yeah. But even if I take a lot of days off that way, if I work 6 days a week year round, even if I take off 15 days, 20 days, 30 days, it's still massive, folks, in terms of how much I work. Yeah, the average person works 40 hours a week, right? That's what? How much? 40 hours? That's 2,080 hours a week? What if I work 6 hours a day, 6 days a week times 52 weeks? It's almost the same amount of hours, but would they be much more productive? That's only 1,800 and something hours. What if I only worked about 1,500 hours? Would I be much more productive? I think the answer is a clear, resounding yes. We got to revisit this, but what we got to do is reject government involvement or intervention and leave it up to employers to do what they think is best and to work out appropriate arrangements with employees. What do you think of that free association idea, huh? It's constitutional. You got to dig it. I declare this nation shall endure. Donate today. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.